So
how much is that?
I'm really excited about tonight. We are talking about websites. Well, we are just talking about them. We're going to like look at them and critique them and kind of tear them apart to figure out what works, what doesn't, what the impressions are. And we are really thrilled to have Patrick Keller to have given us permission to do his website. And Patrick, if you're here, let us know if you want to join on when we get to your website. If you want to join us in StreamYard, we will gladly have you on. And then for those of you listening after this live recording, make sure you go to the websites on whatever device you're listening on and follow along with us. We will let you know the address as soon as we start talking about the websites, and we will also have them in the show notes for you. And so let me introduce who these other weirdos are with me. Did I introduce?
No, you did not.
I don't think so. See, discombobulated. I'm Carrie Caulfield. Eric, you can find me now at carrie.land. That's .land. So just think that when you want to interact with me on the internet, you just come to my world. And joining me,
I'm Jennifer Longworth with Bourbon Barrel Podcasting. My website is bourbonbarrelpodcasting.com.
And I'm Brian Etzminger. You can find me at toptieraudio.com.
And not joining us tonight is Daniel Abendroth of rothmedia.audio. Is that it? I haven't said it in such a long time. And we will truly miss him tonight. But the show must go on, and we must talk about websites. So
what prompted this, Carrie?
I'm doing a rebranding. And yayapodcasting.com is no more. Which I have had some fun with, because I realized when I put website together 5 years ago and got an email and everything, I did it so combobulated that when I took my website down, it kind of made my email only work 50% of the time.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice. So if anybody's trying to email me, I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
Oops.
Yeah. I really wanted, in this rebranding, I wanted to simplify. And my website felt like a monster. It had all sorts of pieces and pages to it. And I just like gave up on it and stopped keeping it up. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to throw it out and start over. I wanted something simple, one page. I didn't want to have to spend a lot of time on it. I wanted to be real clear and simple. And I just wanted the highlights and something more manageable that works better for me. It's a lot clearer. And the last time we had, who was it we had on to talk about websites? Do you guys remember?
Tara.
So when we had Tara on to talk about websites, she pointed out that it wasn't really clear what I did. So I really tried to keep that in mind when doing the new website. And having more eyes on it, fabulous, because it'll just make it better, even though I'm a little nervous and I might be upset about some things.
Yeah, so... It's really clear, I think, what you do. Like, I tell stories with sound. I think that's really clear.
Do you want to share it?
Oh, yeah. So I should probably share my goal for the website.
Okay.
I think it's important to have a goal. And I like to think of my website as kind of my hub where everybody can find everything. But with this iteration, with this rebranding, I really wanted to disqualify anybody who wasn't my ideal client, like quickly.
Yes.
So I tried to keep it really simple. I lead with what I do, like my I tell stories with sound. And then I'm literally like, are you this person or like one of these people? These really are my ideal clients. So the goal is for them to be able to identify themselves. And obviously, somebody's going to like read those things and be like, oh, I am this or I'm not this. Mm-hmm. And if they're not this, they're going to be like, that's not for me. So bye. And then I tried to like maybe more explain what I I'm trying to do, or what I'm trying to do, like what I do. And that's about it. Jesse McCune had said maybe the sidebar was too messy, and I don't entirely disagree. But I have my most recent projects. They can see what they do. I have an audio testimonial. I have a little bit about, like, a little about me section.
Is this a Google site or is it WordPress?
This is absolutely a Google site and a Google free site.
The perfect price for podcast editors. Yeah.
The perfect price for web hosting. The domain was
$12. Nice. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. So this is like a $12 website a year, $12 nice. A year. Yeah. So that part I'm happy about. And before I was using like Divi and I was paying like $100-something for hosting and then the domain and then like the G Suite, like all that stuff. And so the price tag was much bigger for something I wasn't really taking full advantage of. I'm just really one person. I have made the decision not to have a big team. I've made the decision to be kind of like boutique or like a more like a free agent kind of thing. So that's what I'm really trying to reflect here, that I like you were dealing with me. Mm-hmm. Right.
So no, we and us and all that stuff.
Right. Right. It is literally just like, hey, it's you and me. Yeah. It's you and me and sometimes Alejandro.
Yeah. So Andrea's comment, like the ideal client's idea, do you have too many different ones listed? Could you niche down further? Do you think of multiple descriptors for an ideal client? Asking because she's working on that herself and her coach is encouraging her to get even more specific.
Yeah. And that is a very fair point, Andrea. Like the ideal client thing, it is really about being super specific, which I totally agree with. However, what I actually did for this was really think about the clients that I do tend to work with. And these are literally based on the actual clients that I serve now. And this is like I don't know how I could combine it into one. Like I'd have to think about that. But yes, I thought about like that maybe it's a lot. But yeah, these are the clients. Like these are the actual kinds of clients that I work with.
I guess the one question I have is, I know we've talked a lot in the past several episodes with you that you're pushing yourself more toward production in dramas and that kind of stuff, right? So assembled and high quality productions, very involved productions. And while it's not necessarily inaccurate, I don't necessarily think of an indie creator or a marginalized or underrepresentative creator as an identity necessarily fitting into that unless they meet the other criteria. So if you were to focus more on those, where you're wanting to go with that in terms of the kinds of productions you're wanting to work on, that doesn't mean you can't serve those other people. In fact, I know you still will, but right. Cause that's who you are. But I think it would bring a little bit more clarity and focus to that because I think the first one is probably in my mind, the producer for film, television, or podcasting wanting to craft compelling podcasts. I think that's where I see you trying to go. These other things may describe some of the projects that you've worked on, but I think that first one is where it all kind of hangs together for me.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And the more I'm doing this work, the more like doing this more like story editing and working with these people that come from other media, the more I'm really enjoying it. Like I am really enjoying that piece. So I think I think you're onto something, Brian.
Well, I mean, we can still blame it on Andrea. So, I mean, she's the one that brought it up.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, and you know, I totally knew that people were going to call it out. And then the other thing that I know that we're going to get to later as part of this like larger discussion is I don't have any prices on my website.
Yeah. I think before we get there, one other thing that really popped into my head is you had listed your recent projects. This isn't doing you any service. I think you need the cover art for those shows. And part of the reason is because the cover art for those shows is going to immediately signal what kinds of productions you work on and the production value that goes into the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
If you've got cover art that was designed by Brian on Canva, that's going to communicate to you a certain kind of client, right?
That's very true. Yeah, because I fixed your line spacing for our show art.
It was really close-ish.
Aww.
It was. No, I am very thankful that you did it. And Facebook user loves that photo.
Facebook user, who are you?
I'm not sure yet. I think we've shifted to a different instance of StreamYard because it's supposed to record for us. So you may have granted permission before and then maybe it disappeared like magic because that's how we roll. I don't know. I don't disagree with the comment that you said Jesse made about the sidebar as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
And one of the things, I don't know if this is going to screw it up, but one of the things I noticed is if I go to more of a mobile view, it becomes cleaner, right?
Yes.
Because I would call this, I don't want to say that your picture and She Podcast is low value stuff, but that's not really the point of the site. And that definitely gets pushed down the page. So I do kind of wonder if there's a way that maybe this section here, I Know the Power of the Spoken Word, ends up serving as kind of a break between content and then something that follows with those other graphics and that kind of stuff. Maybe your picture is still front and center. I think that's still really good because you are the brand. But
yeah,
these other things kind of, I'm not so sure about.
So, and the other thing that is also driving me crazy about this is I need to fix the hero image.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for a couple of reasons. One is just because you have to resize it. But the other one is, it's going to resize dynamically based on the width of the screen it's displayed on. So there's not really a good way to come up with an image for that that's going to work and fill the space.
Yeah. So I think I'm just going to get, I have a transparent version where there's no background for the text. And so I can shrink that down. Man, this is why I hate hero images, right? Because you never know how they're going to work or what the actual size you need is.
I mean, I hate to say it to you, but that's one of the things Divi kind of shined on because you could use a generic background and then put text over it. And that could be your hero image.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm getting... I didn't mean to...
So now Andrea's laughing at me. I get it. That's awesome.
Oh, man.
She's not laughing at me.
But she hasn't said Brian's right, funny. I think. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I try to be right at least once a year, and I'm already two for this year, so I'm going to have to stop now.
Dun, 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 dun. One thing here, looking at this with your pictures, you're not wearing cat ears in that picture, and you totally mentioned the cat ears later in the bio, so. Yeah.
I know. I just need to take some new
you
pictures.
You do, and you need your cat ears, and you need your purple microphone. Maybe not the purple microphone, but I mean, it is kind of, it's part of your brand, really.
I know. And you know what people get, like, they're always comment on the pop filter, and I should really start giving them out in fun colors.
You should. And maybe get Carrie.land printed on it in very bold colors so that you could look like every audio production company trying to make sure their garbage shows up on TV Rode every time somebody uses their mic Rode. Did you see their new wireless thing that, like, that's got the Rode logo on it that's as big as the wireless pack?
Oh, no.
No.
Okay, I'm going to shut up. But I'm just like, really, guys?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Shure didn't do that with the MV7. I get it, but wow.
Yeah, so maybe I'll just have Carrie Land printed on them. And Andrea says she recently heard that hero images are so 2022 and on the way out.
So are they being replaced with something? Because, I mean, you need something to set to take up at least half the page because there's no real content on our websites, right? I'm kidding, but... I do remember when I finally got on board with the hero image and I was like, yeah, this does kind of anchor the page. What would anchor the page if not a hero image?
Maybe nothing. Or maybe a static image. I mean, if they're dynamic.
I mean, so Carrie's website would start like this without a hero image. That's not bad. No.
It's not terrible. Yeah, I don't hate it. As a matter of fact, I would have been glad to not have any hero image. What I saw, I had to resize.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's going to take all day.
Oh, man.
It's going to take 500 attempts. Oh, and I should say also that, like, I like my writing, like, you know, you usually have a blog component to your website. And what I am going to put on there and what I think is already on there is I just have a link to Medium. Yeah. Well, underneath my picture.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I can see my cursor. You couldn't see it because it disappeared.
Yeah, And it's really like, it's like 5 points.
That's really subtle. And one of the things, like, I'm not super familiar with the Medium logo. I would have just assumed that was another social media property. And I guess in a sense it is, but I would not have gone, oh, that's where she does her writing.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that either.
And I was actually going to ask about these because you'd mentioned somewhere that your ideal client always wants to actually talk to you, like actually email you, not set up a 30-minute consultation or get a free download or whatever. They want to talk to you. They want to get in contact with you, not say, I'd like to book a session. So I'm wondering, right, do you even want your social properties anywhere, but maybe at the footer?
You know what? That is a good question. I'm thinking, especially if I move the sidebar anyway, that's going to, yeah, I think the footer would be a relevant place or a good place.
This is just me, but if we were to kill the hero image, and I'm not a designer, so just ignore me if you need to, but if we kill the hero image and maybe keep this, maybe don't, I think this button needs to go at the top and it needs to be a very bright color, probably like your microphone.
Okay.
Something that says...
Yeah. So something to call attention. This is how you contact me.
This is the thing you do on my website. You email me and this is where you do it.
That's the main call to action, right?
All this other stuff is not throwaway. But if I'm going to your website because somebody said, hey, you should hire Carrie, and I'm not going to read it, I'm going to want to talk to you. That's where all of my meaningful connections happen, is after we get that first consultation set up and we have a chance to talk and go, okay, because that's when they start asking questions. They're like, oh, you actually do know what you're talking about. You're not just pretending to, and you actually do care about me, and you actually do care about what I want, not just something you put on your website. Now you're making me rethink my website.
That is the point of this entire show, right? Because if I'm doing it, why doesn't everybody do it? No, I think that's such a valuable insight, actually, which is why I'm glad I did this. Because, you know, when we do this stuff in our little bubbles, mm-hmm, without any feedback, this is the stuff we miss.
Yeah.
And I also want to say that you've done good work. If you hadn't, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We'd be having a different conversation, like, do you even know who you want to serve? Which is the conversation we have when we look at my website.
But we had that conversation about my old website.
Yeah, and this one is much better.
Or like, do you even know what you do? Yeah. So I think
one of the things
closer.
I was wondering, though, is, you know, you did have quite a number of things on your website, and that was part of, I think, what led to some decision fatigue. However, I don't see anything here that points to the courses that you have. Are you still offering those? Or you just...
It's a little teeny tiny there. It's a dialogue editing. Yes, it's under upcoming workshops. It's very tiny.
Oh.
Yeah. So the courses, and I have like my whole Thinkific site. So that I was a little bit conflicted about. Like, I may just put it like, so I'll take away the sidebar and like have like an educational section.
Where my head goes when I hear you say that is, what happens if you have a section at the top? Hey, I'm Carrie. These are the people I work with. Please hire me. And then below that, you have something that says something along the lines of, I also help other editors, or I also train other people to do this. If you'd like more, I don't know, email me, or maybe some kind of, but something that puts this front and center, because this is your bread and butter. And then also I do this, that not only gives people the opportunity to buy your course or, you know, get in contact with you for consultation or coaching or whatever, but it also then adds a little bit more weight to the fact that you know what you're doing because you offer this as training. Maybe you get a few testimonials from people that do know what they're, like other people that know what they're doing, and say, hey, Carrie taught me this and look what I was able to do. Then you've got that kind of feeds back to the original, yes, I'm actually good at this.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. And I like that idea of, or the lens of like, yes, I'm actually good at this.
That's like the number one question when I get on the phone with people, is that they want to know, can I actually do the work? Right?
I have never had anybody ask me that question. And I think sometimes they should.
I mean,
have.
They don't ask it that way, but they're listening to go, am I comfortable with this guy? Do I feel like he's going to take care of me? Here we go. Facebook user, social proof is powerful. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I guess we're going to start reminding everybody to like do their StreamYard. Like, they're going to have to, you're going to have to all do it again. I'm very sorry. We got a different account.
But one of these days we'll figure out the recording thing too. And then Alejandro will love us all the more.
Yeah. Well, we figured it out last time, which was good.
Probably because I'm here.
I don't want to like take up all the time tonight. And I'm hoping that we'll have time to get to the pricing discussion.
Well, I mean, you want to do that now or do you want to look at mine first?
Yeah, let's do that. So Jennifer rocking the hero image with a simple call to action. Carrie kind of walked us through her ideal client. Why don't you do that for us too?
Well, it doesn't really reflect on my website, so there's that. But my ideal client is an independent creator in Kentucky.
Okay.
And that's about as niche as I go. But so I was reading Carrie's. I know Andrea, that's because they put the wrong picture there. Pop up Andrea's comment. This photo makes me think you want to be hired as a speaker, not as an editor. That's because they put the wrong picture in the wrong place. I didn't do it. I haven't gone back to tell them, no, you did the wrong thing.
So do you not maintain your own website?
Not at the moment. I hired some people to do that for me when I relaunched it. And I renewed my contract with them just because it's not where I want it to be yet. And yeah, they put the speaker photo. I had an editor photo of me rocking headphones in this spot. Nice. But then they changed that. So I need to...
Yeah, it's not a bad picture.
No, it's not a bad picture. But it's supposed to... If you scroll down, the picture of the me in the pink t-shirt is where that picture should have gone.
Oh, okay.
See?
Oh, wait.
That's where that picture should have gone. And they put it in the wrong place. And I was just like, whatever. They did it so fast and they're faster at responding than I am. But one thing I changed recently from is because I was using the term producer and it was confusing a lot of people.
Sure.
Also deciding that I'm not a producer. I think that was a part of my... who am I in this podcasting world thing anyway? Am I a producer? No, I am an editor. And that is what I do. I will help you get started with your podcast and I will edit your podcast. But if you want me to do anything beyond that, no, you got to find a podcast manager or a podcast producer or somebody else.
Okay.
It keeps the conversation short with people. The one girl got on the phone with me. She scheduled the consultation, whatever. And she's like, well, right out the bat, she's like, I want someone to schedule my guests and to do this and live stream. And I'm like, thanks for playing. Bye.
Somebody comes to your website. The big call to action here is learn more. Where does that take them? Do they book a session?
I don't know. Click on it and find out.
It takes you
It goes to the about me.
Your about page.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I wouldn't have that as my call to action.
No, me neither.
I mean, hey, you have a nice big call to action, though.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
I would want to remove at least one click from the sales funnel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put like, let's chat there or something instead.
Yeah. And that can, like Carrie did, that could go to email, that could go to Facebook Messenger, Instagram, booking thing. I don't know. I think mine takes you to a booking link, which is probably not the best idea.
Well, if you keep scrolling, you get my ebook next. The ebook's there because I keep going to things and people say you need an email list. And then, I don't do anything with the email list, though. So people are like, hey, you might have seen I signed up for your ebook. I'm like, no, I don't even look at it. So that's another conversation. I need to go back and listen to those previous episodes about email marketing. But anyway, and then I have my current, typos.
Well, before we get to that, Andrea just says, good job at affirming what you actually do. She's going the opposite direction towards strategist and producer. So yeah. Definitely a good thing. I wonder, does that even need to be up here? Is there a way to, in a positive or affirmative voice, call out the fact that this is what I do? I don't do these other things. Like, I don't know that you would want to create a list of all the stuff you don't do, but that might bring some clarity as well.
Yeah.
Like, create a list of what you don't do?
Or maybe, I'm saying maybe not that, but maybe make the language a little bit more exclusive of those things. And the reason I say that is because when I read, let me use my expertise to do the heavy listening so you can focus on your message, that kind of stuff, I might read that as all you have to do is show up and record.
Just show up, yeah.
And some people, that's what they want to do. And also, Andrea, she had that point. I was actually going to make that point about the title. Right. So empowering you to change the world. That's the change that you're wanting them to get, right? Change the world one podcast at the time. But what do you do in that? Like it says you have a story that needs to be told.
Yeah, I fixed this on my business cards, but I didn't fix it on the website. The business cards are much more obvious now that what I do, but I didn't get, it didn't trickle down. There's too many places to update everything.
It is. It's terrible.
It is. It's annoying, actually. I wish you could push one button.
Yeah.
You remember when I was in the hot seat and Steve pulled up, oh, well, this is what your website says. And I'm like, oh, does it?
No, right. You said, where's this learn more button go? I don't even know where the learn more button goes.
I hope that we prove to people that you don't have to like be super good at this stuff.
No.
To be able to like make it work.
So keep scrolling. So this is the important part. So then I have a few of my current clients, and that's going to have to change again because one of them's about to fall off and it's very sad. And then services include, and this is where it says editing specifically.
Okay.
But that's farther down. It needs to be.
So do people hire you for workshops, meetups, and speaking engagements?
Hire me to pay me to do them? No. But do I do them? Yes. Locally, mostly.
Do you want people to hire you to do that?
I would love for people to pay me to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's another show. We can't open up that.
No.
Right now.
No, we can't, but yes.
But I want to, right?
The point was, if you do, then yeah, leave it there. If you don't, maybe that doesn't belong there.
Right.
Yeah, that's great.
No, I've spoken to women's groups here locally, and I went to the PRSA, the Public Relations Society of America or something. I did something for them once. You know, little things like that. And somewhere I want it to show that, yeah, I've spoken on the national stages too. Just kind of give me a more like thought leadership type thing.
So part of where my head goes now is we had talked originally about that speaker photo, making it look like you're a public speaker, not an editor.
Right.
Maybe there's a way that we can frame it within the text of that hero section to say, I help you do this by editing. And also, like, I help people in groups get started. I don't know how to say it, but that's a lot of what you're doing in workshops is you're helping people get started, helping them fix a thing about their show, that kind of stuff. You hold the meetups, but what I see of them, they're all pretty much the same basic content, right? This is how you get a show started. This is how you use the microphone, like all the things that people need.
Because that's what the people keep wanting.
Yeah. And this is not me dogging on you about that at all, but that's helping people get started. So I help people start, and I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but maybe there's a way that current image could actually make sense and also bring together the editing and the speaking.
So Facebook user has a good point. I'm trying to click on it. Okay. Have you considered changing current clients to shows I've worked with or current and past clients? And what I would be hesitant to do is I don't want people who've broken up with me on my website. Which is a whole nother thing. Like, yeah, I've worked on some really great shows, but we parted ways for one way or the other. And sometimes it's
no free advertising.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, no. And I don't want a pod faded show, even though it was great. If it's not evergreen content, it pod faded. Yeah.
I'm kind of 50-50 on that though, because I think every show that Carrie currently works on is like one season at a time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, most of my clients don't have an episode or a season two.
Right, but they don't. So, but they, I don't want to call out any of my people.
No, don't.
So there's just some that come to mind. I'm like, yeah, but you barely got rolling and I'm not going to put you on there. And I have a lot more than six too. So that's which six get featured.
But you can cherry pick, right? If there's.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think. Well, I guess I don't see any on here, but I think for a while you were working with a couple of relatively big name shows that I kind of recognized that as long as you parted on good terms, it's not necessarily inappropriate for you to leave that up there. Now, if you don't like them or they don't like you, or you think they might push back about using their image if it's not in the contract or something, yeah, don't do that. But if you're on good terms, we might just shoot them an email and say, hey, I know we're not still working together, but I would love to highlight you as a former client, which would benefit you. And it also benefits me.
Yeah, I can think of one show that would probably be like that. We had to part ways because of a medical issue on their side and they just couldn't keep doing the show anymore. That's their content with Evergreen. So maybe they're worth revisiting. But by this point, it's like, but also my target audience, scroll back up to the current client thing. who did I say my target audience is, or who my target client is?
Kentucky people. That's it.
Yeah.
Just Kentucky.
How many of those six are Kentucky people?
I would never know.
I don't know.
It's two.
Well, that's a third. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So it's just two of those that I have featured. Now, I've picked up a few extra here recently and just launching new shows with people all over the place so I can replace them. But like the rideshare guy, he's my number one show. I'm not going to take him off ever unless we, you know, part ways.
So how many of these are personality-based entrepreneur shows or business shows?
Stacey Mayer.
Not the rideshare guy?
His is about the gig economy.
Okay.
Sarah is the wedding whisperer, but she's a wedding planner who interviews wedding vendors. And Scott, he's personality driven. Yeah.
What about Good Sense?
It's a sponsored shows by Payactiv.
Okay.
It's personal finance.
Okay. Yeah. I was just hoping maybe we'd find a common thread besides Kentucky. No. I'm not opposed to Kentucky. I mean, it's right next to where I live.
There isn't one. I've looked for it too. My newest show is an arts podcast. It has nothing to do with any of the other ones I do. So I don't have like an easy niche like Steve does, or the, oh, it's personal finance, the end. Yeah. It's just younger podcasters in Kentucky. And I agree with Andrea about the stock image with the mic.
Yeah.
I hate like it too. Either. So this is why I wanted you all to do mine too, so I could take a list back to my people and say, hi, can we use this? Oh, there was like a Blue Yeti on my site at one point. I was like, no, that was my social media people tried to do that. I was like, oh, good grief.
No.
Were they at least talking into the wrong end of it so that we
Yes.
Could-
yeah, I'm sure they were.
And if we're talking about the pictures here, so I would, you know, here you have, we talked about the pictures earlier, you have professional podcast editing. Here is a place for you to highlight, you know, the headphones, or you're working in your DAW. And I feel like you have a picture of like something like that.
Yeah. Not professionals with the DAW, but I definitely have professional photos in the headphones.
Right. And then one minor critique, and this is just like a graphic design thing, but like that picture of you in the, you know, speaking in the pink shirt, it needs to be flipped so that it is looking into the page.
Reorganize these two.
Yeah, you just would have to flip those. If you flip that, then my shirt is flipped. And I hate it when designers do that. I absolutely hate it when designers flip my shirt.
Totally agree.
But yeah.
Or a different picture. Or like...
Look. The picture that's at the top is supposed to be right there.
Yeah. And that makes sense to me. Yeah, I just can't stand it when like that, the gaze of a person's eye... Yeah, it's taking you literally off the page and away from the screen.
Yeah.
Like you always want eyes to be like going in, yeah. Like looking at something on your webpage. I know it's a photo.
Oh, no, that makes sense.
One of the things I'm wondering about this is would it make sense to change this headline to something more like speaking and training or something like that, rather than listing those three things? They're not inaccurate.
I kind of like workshop. Like when you say workshop to me, I know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to be participating. It's going to be active. Everybody's going to, you know, hopefully going to be engaged. Like that's what workshop means to me. That's why I love like that word. Maybe like in-person events or something. Like I don't mind workshops, meetups. I don't know about in meetups. I don't know about speaking.
Yeah. I don't like meetups and speaking engagements. I feel like meetups actually kind of devalues what you're delivering because that's really just the medium that you're using.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would probably just approach it as something like speaking and workshops or workshops and speaking.
Or in person.
Yeah, in person. Well, in person events could be anything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, but they are meetups. We do them once a month. And that they're not publicized on the website that they should be.
Yeah. I don't want to pretend that those aren't valuable, but if I'm going to the website and going, hey, do I want to work with Jennifer? I'm not looking to see if you have meetups. And I think the point of the website is to get you hired.
That's true.
Or to get somebody to have a hiring conversation, not to get them to find out how to get the next free thing.
Wait, everybody needs to stop for a second and think about this or like hear this again. The website is to get you hired. Even I need that reminder.
Me too.
Yeah. So you would have lead with like the hire me aspect. Yeah. And all the other stuff is just like decoration.
So if you keep going, then we get to the let's talk. It's down at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it needs to be on the top. Schedule now should be up in that hero image.
Yeah. So if I look at this page, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 different calls to action. We have learn about me, which is going to be updated to something else.
Yes.
We have a free book. We've got, those aren't really calls to action. We've got a consultation and a form for email. How do you actually want people to reach out to you, or how do they want to reach out to you?
Some people are ready for the call and some people have questions. So it all comes to my email in the end. So I don't care. But the want to chat me to person most recently was like, hey, I have a question. She was one who wanted a producer. And she asked like, hey, what are your rates or whatever, whatever. And I said, well, look, just throwing it out there right now. I'm just an audio editor. And if that's what you want, here's my range. If you want something else, it's not me. And then we didn't even have to get on a call because...
Here's a question I have for you. What do you want your clients to do?
Schedule the call.
Okay. Then I would go with schedule the call. Because what you just told me is your ideal client is not going to waste your time with emails.
Right.
They're going to book the call. And hopefully they're smart enough that they can both book the call and either save their questions until the call, or like happen to figure out how else to connect with you because they're smart and savvy.
Yeah.
And then you don't need to worry about having multiple ways of contact.
Yeah. I mean, you've still got your phone down here. You could put your email in the footer, like all that stuff can happen. I agree with Carrie. If the ideal situation, if we could get them from point A to point B the most quickly on their journey, maybe not to the final destination, but the next step.
Right.
I think it's something along the lines of want to know more, let's talk.
Yeah.
And then set up a 15-minute chat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because part of me goes, and I call it a consultation too, but consultation has a bit of weight to it, right?
Yeah.
In the sense that, are we really just going to talk, or is this going to be them spending 3 minutes listening to me and 12 minutes selling me? Conversely, it also might create the expectation that they're just going to pick your brain for 15 minutes.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah. So it could be something like, want to know more, let's chat, or want to see if we're a great fit for each other, let's talk, like something like that. And just a button, and then maybe in parentheses in whatever voices your brand, I promise I'm not going to try and sell you something you don't want. I'm not going to email you a bunch of stuff. You're not going to get stuck on a list unless you want to, because I don't email them anyway.
Right? You get into my drip campaign, and once the drips are done, you're done.
What did Patrick say? I've never once sent an email to my list.
That's awesome. I missed that there were a bunch of chats. Yeah, that's great.
God, love that. Love that. Which is, I happened for this. It's funny because for this episode, I happened to send out an email in the afternoon for the first time.
I saw it. I was like, Carrie's on it today.
In like 20 years. Yeah.
Instead of, we're starting in 20 minutes. Quick, quick.
Yeah. So I was very proud of that, by the way.
One thing I do like is the color branding is very strong and very clear.
Yes. Yeah. It is clean and ultimately simple and kind of what I was going for.
Well, and I paid more than $12 for mine too.
So one other question I have, and this is something that I've done. I don't have it really on my website, but I do have a free download that I created as part of a side podcast that I'm doing. And it's a resource for people that want to hire editors to help them think through, what am I looking for?
Oh, yeah. I saw you posted something about that somewhere.
If you're going to have some kind of download that gets people onto a short, like maybe 5 email drip campaign or something, could it be something where instead of just being 10 tips for starting your podcast, it might be 10 tips that also help point them to you? And the reason I'm bringing this up, and it's not that I want to be a jerk and hold back information, but the people that are going to sign up for a 10 tips to start your podcast ebook are probably the people that first off haven't even realized that Blueberry and Captivate and Libsyn and every other host already have free programs out there to help them get started on their platform. And they're probably not the people that are willing to spend $7 or $37 for an AppSumo course. So are they actually your client?
Well, the content of the free ebook is what I spew out every time I talk to somebody out about a podcast. It's the same regurgitated information that everybody gets from me for free. And I got tired of saying it. So I just send people the ebook.
Does it convert?
Probably not. And I don't care.
Okay.
So that's fair. I just hate saying the same stuff, telling people over and over and over again. The people who want to work with me, like, know they want to work with me. They're not coming to my website just to get a free... If they're getting the free ebook, then they leave. That's fine. But I don't know.
Yeah. So maybe that's your disqualifier right there. Like, Carrie has... Her website makes it clear who she wants to work with. Maybe the free ebook is to get them off your site before they book a call.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
And it's not that somebody gets your book and then they book a call and you're going to say no, because you won't know because you don't check. But...
Right.
But... It saves at least some of the people from setting up a 15-minute call to find out the things that are on your ebook. So maybe there's value in that. That's
it saves me time from having to say the same, this is this and that is that. And you have to get a media host. I mean, because I have to tell them, they're like, well, how much does it cost? Well, you have to get a media host. And, oh, yeah, there are free media hosts out there, but I don't trust them. And blah, 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 blah. Just read the book.
Okay. So then I would question, like, is this the correct position? Because right now this ebook is sitting in very valuable
real estate.
I think it goes at the bottom, right above the footer.
Yeah. I don't know if even the current clients, like, and I could be totally wrong about this, but my instinct is like the current clients also shouldn't come up way high. And maybe that the things that you do
should be higher.
And then you should then have that chat with me form or that schedule, you know.
So not saying that I'm doing mine right, but Who Are My Current Shows is the very last thing before the above the footer last call to action. So it's there.
Why don't you bring yours up?
Because we've got like 2 minutes left.
Oh, sad.
Big Hero Image. Sorry, Andrea. Get Started takes you to a booking link. A little bit about me that probably doesn't need to be there, but I felt like it did. Another booking link, because that's how we roll. Quick description of services, another booking link, a testimonial from a current client, and then a few projects that I work on, and then the final call to action.
So Brian's showing us his site, which is toptieraudio.com. And by the way, because I think we forgot to say it, Jennifer's website is bourbonbarrelpodcasting.com. Okay. So I'm sorry. I'm just looking at how you like have gone through it.
Yeah. So Hero Image with only one call to action basically takes up the entire page, depending on what resolution you're looking at.
Is that something you did specifically or just have a website?
It's just Divi. That's just how it's built. It resizes automatically. And then I just put...
Well, no, I mean, did you want it to take up that much space?
Yes. Because when they landed there, I wanted them to see one thing. I mean, I realize there's a header bar so that gives them other things, but I wanted this to be the thing that they do. They don't, but I wanted that to be the thing that they do. And then taking a cue from Carrie's book, I do have some about me. And I've been thinking about removing these links because I'm not sure that they're a value add.
Where they go to your old podcast?
Yeah, these go to podcasts. And then this is my YouTube channel where I did for a time do Hindenburg videos. And then this is my creator page on Podchaser. Another Get Started link, description of what we do, start your podcast, edit your podcast, and improve your podcast. And then a more detailed book a call thing, which if you click the other links, it's just going to scroll the page to here and have you fill out the form anyway. And it's like, I think a three-step form. What do you want? Consultation, a launch, one season or limited run or ongoing production. And then you can go through and fill in some additional information as far as budget and stuff.
I think Andrea is here for the price tag.
Okay. I do not have pricing. I actually took the pricing off and I had it on there for a while. So my philosophy on pricing was for a time, I put my pricing on my page so that I couldn't back down and argue against myself when I was quoting people prices.
Ooh, that's good.
Oh,
good plan. Right?
So if I negotiate against myself, the prices go back up. Then I took the prices off because I started, every time I would land a client, my prices would go up. And then my prices stabilized for a while, so I put the pricing back on. And now I've taken it back off. I've thought of putting that starting at, but I really just want to get on the phone because it's not like I'm getting 10 calls a week and everybody's like, ooh, I can't spend more than $50. So I've left them off. I feel like when people go to the website, they're like, this guy's probably not a $50 an episode kind of guy. But that's kind of my philosophy. What do you guys think?
So I have been thinking, I've been giving this a lot of thought because Jesse McCune had recommended I put prices on my website and not recommended, strongly advised. I don't know. He seemed pretty adamant about it. However, my ideal client already knows how much the work costs and they know how much or how valuable the work is. So I can ask any media, like any person typically that is going to pay me to do story editing or story producing or dialogue editing. We can have a conversation and they can like describe what they want me to do. And we will both know about what the market rate is. So I feel like because that's the kind of person I'm working with, they're either the kind of people that know the market rate or they know how to look up what it costs, like what high quality production costs. That's not a huge conversation that we're going to have. I'm going to say, well, this is typically like on the call that I have with them. I mean, I do have a call with them. They'll send an email. We'll set up a call. They're going to say about what rate they're expecting. And we're going to go from there. Or I'm going to say this is about where we start. But then I need to get like more particulars about the job. I need to know about the audio. Like, I feel like what we do in a lot of ways, I almost feel like it's like the problems that we have to deal with. It's the bad audio. It's the, you know, but whatever, you know, we just fix problems all day. So like, I feel like I need to put ears on the audio as well. Like I can't just tell you it's going to cost X amount of dollars because I don't know what the work is because I don't know how you recorded anything. I haven't heard the audio. Like I need to actually price it out and I don't have, I mean, I could put like the market rates on my website, but I feel it, but like, honestly, at this point in my life, I want to charge the people like podcasting like poorly or doing like recording poorly. And it's not necessarily your fault. I want to charge them more money because they take up more of my time. So anyway, that's my whole thing is that my like for anybody I'm working with, this is not about the money. It's about the money, but it's not about the money. It's about the work.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit more context. Andrea used to do everything custom, but she's moving to packages. Still have a custom option. Yeah, I get it. And then she has people that book with her until she tells the prices and then they ghost or they show up and really want to work at her with her and then can't believe the price. So they leave her then. So it's all about the time investment, I think. And I don't know. I'll pause. I've got a perspective, but I think you've got something, Carrie.
Okay. So I am of the belief that if a business does not have their prices on their website, that it's going to be expensive.
That's how I feel.
And so when I have any kind of like conversation with that business, I am going to go into that conversation knowing this is going to be like expensive. But I also have the feeling that though this is also going to be good because that's been my experience with people who don't put prices on their website. it's usually good work. I'm not saying that putting prices on your website, don't come at me.
Sure.
Like, yeah, you want to put prices on your website, you do it any way you want to do. I'm just saying, like, for me, from my experience, and I haven't had a price on my website in a long time. And the other thing is what you said, Brian, is that every time I raise my rates or I, you know, charge more, like I have to go back and change stuff and I'm late. And then what if I don't? I've had that happen.
Me too. It says on your website. I'm like, what if I?
Yeah. You can't do anything about that. Andrea says she's now very conflicted. So my thing for Andrea, since she's having this experience, is what is making the people who are like, you're too expensive, like what is making them book with you despite the fact that you obviously like you didn't have prices on your website and they didn't figure out that if a business doesn't have prices on their website, they're probably expensive. Right?
Yes.
So I feel like that's almost like maybe there's a messaging problem there when you don't have prices on your website. Like there's some sort of disconnect.
Yeah. So I'm kind of the opinion that there's probably a couple of, well, there could be a couple things going on. One of my questions would be, what's your close rate? Because in my view, if your close rate is somewhere between 30 and 50%, you're probably priced about right in terms of attracting the right people, getting them, like they actually want to work with you, they can afford you, all of that kind of stuff. If your close rate is higher than 50%, and I'm not talking about like 51, I'm talking like 60 to 70%, there's a chance your pricing is too low for the market you're attracting. And if you're closing lower than 30%, then there's a chance that your pricing is too high. Now, this is all within the context of a market and also within the context of the people you're attracting and your goals and some stuff like that. The other thing, though, is, and I don't know the answer to this, is there something about your branding or where you're connecting with people that is giving people the impression that you might be the right fit for them when they think that it should cost a lot less? As an example, I think you've worked with a bunch of nonprofits. Is it possible that they think because you've worked with a nonprofit, you're just going to keep your prices low, right? It's the whole negotiating thing. Am I saying numbers?
So can you explain like maybe the close rate?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, sorry. If you have 100 calls and you close 50 of them and they work with you, that's 50% close rate.
And by close, you mean?
You get a client out of the deal. And if they don't, then it's you don't get to work with them. If you're getting somewhere between 30 and 50% of the people you talk with to say yes, then you're probably attracting about the right person and your pricing is probably about right for the market that you're trying to serve, unless you're charging less than you should be or like, and there's stuff there. If you're closing more than 50%, then there's a chance your pricing is too low. And if you're closing less than 30%, there's a chance that your pricing is too high for the market. Now, this is all assuming that you're actually attracting the market you think you're going to be attracting, right? So if you're saying, hey, I'm going to attract Fortune 500 businesses and they're going to spend $10,000 an episode on my thing and all of your marketing says that, but then you're actually getting people that can't spend 50, well, you're not attracting the right market. So it might not be that your pricing isn't right. It might be that your market attraction is not right. So it's not a one and done kind of thing. But if you're getting the people you expected and they're 50% of them are willing and able to work with you, then your pricing is probably right. And there's, of course, some variability in there. That's just my perspective. I've heard similar perspectives from other people.
I think that we need to have like an entire episode
to pricing on the website.
Yeah, because I mean, just because A is interesting and then you get little nuggets like, you know, your close rate being a good indicator of if your pricing is too high, too low, or just right. But like people have very strong opinions about this.
Well, and let's talk about that for just a second, because there's also the element of pricing elasticity, right? So if I talk to 10 people and my close rate is 1 out of 10, a 10%, but that person can fund me for an entire year, like that doesn't necessarily mean that my close rate is wrong. It just means that I have to go through more people because the investment is significantly more. So 50 to 30% is kind of a general rule of thumb for where I'm at. And I'm probably in the 30 to 40%. So my pricing might be a little bit out of alignment, or I might be attracting the wrong people. Carrie, I saw that you had, or somebody had flipped up that Patrick asked about the poll. I never saw the results.
Oh, I didn't mean to put that up there. I thought you did. but I think Patrick has a good point. What are the results of our poll? I asked, should prices be listed on your website? And there were three options. Yes, detailed pricings and or packages. Yes, give an idea of where your pricing starts at. Or no, listing prices isn't necessary. 86% of respondents who took the poll in our group said, yes, give an idea of where your pricing starts at. 13% said, yes, detailed pricing and or packages. And 1% said, no, listing prices isn't necessary. And actually, now that's 6% because I just
voted. I was like, if I'd voted, it'd fill up too.
Yeah. Very lively discussion, which I don't know if we want to read any of the comments, but it is. And the reason I say that is because it's late. It's we're over time.
I'll drop a link in the chat and then we can include it in the show notes and people can check it out for themselves. That'd be fun.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. I really like the pricing conversation. And I think that, or the website, specifically the pricing on the website conversation. And maybe it would be interesting to have almost, I don't know, some of you people in the audience.
What?
To come and join us and do that and discuss this. So just throwing it out there, people. All right. I hope you guys found this valuable. I certainly am going to make a lot of changes based on what I got here tonight. Yeah. And this is what masterminding does, right? You say, hey, look at this stuff, guys. Help. I need to do it better. And then you know, everybody puts eyes on your stuff and you do it better, right? So if you would like to be a guest on this show, how would you do that, Jennifer?
You would go to podcasteditormastermind.com and click be a guest or reach out to one of us and we'll figure it out.
We have ways.
We'll muddle through. All right. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Thank you to Andrea, Patrick, and everybody else in the audience. I'm Carrie Caulfield Eric. It has been a pleasure guiding you through tonight. And you can find me at carrie.land.land.
And I'm Jennifer Longworth with Bourbon Barrel Podcasting. My website that you can critique is at bourbonbarrelpodcasting.com. Look for updates coming soon.
And I'm Brian Ensminger. You can find my absolutely perfect and yet to be updated again website at toptieraudio.com. And unable to join us this evening was Daniel Abendroth, who is at rothmedia.audio.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
How much is that?
Damn.